Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Last year was VE Day, celebrating, recognising Victory in Europe Day, 80 years, and VJ Day, Victory over Japan. And I just wanted to share with you a wonderful example of God's providence, which I came across when looking into VJ Day in particular. The reason I'm sharing it is because it really spoke to me. And I hope it will be something that will be a blessing to you as well. That is not actually VJ Day itself. That is actually a few weeks later. That is the signing. Those of you who know your military pictures, that is the signing of the surrender, the Japanese surrender. I want to talk to you about a lady who very, very few people have ever heard of. Her name is Peggy Cavell. Peggy Cavell. And the verses that we've read, in particular, verses 44 and 45, became extremely important to her, meant a huge amount to her. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Those verses came to mean a huge amount to Peggy Cavell. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about her. I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about this man, a man called Jacob DeShazer, who is better known than Peggy Cavell, an American pilot. And I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about this man, who is the most well-known of the three, Matsui Fuchida. And I'm just going to share with you how their stories, God interwove in a most remarkable way. So these three individuals, I'm going to start with Peggy Cavell. She was born in Japan. Her parents were American missionaries. There were a group of about a dozen or so American missionaries ministering in Japan in the 1930s. And she and I think it was a younger brother were born there, and they grew up there, spent their early years there. But as tensions grew, especially between Japan and America, and as the prospect of war became ever more likely in Europe, her parents, Peggy's parents, took the wise decision of sending their two children back to America to be looked after by relatives, and that's what happened. So Peggy, having grown up early years in Japan, she went back to America. Now the American missionaries, the Baptist missionaries, it became evident that it was too dangerous for them as time went on to stay in Japan. But they didn't want to go back to America. They wanted to continue to somehow minister in the Far East. And so they decided to go to the Philippines. And there they began to minister in the Philippines. They began to minister in a very rural area, very remote. It was occupied by the Japanese, so it wasn't safe. They knew that if they were ever discovered, that that would be very dangerous for them. But they ministered for several years. They ministered, they had a church service every week in the open air. They called it Hope Valley, and they used to have about 100 local Filipinos come out every week from villages to worship God, and they're able to instruct them and speak to them and share with them their faith. So the work in many ways spiritually thrived. It was in December of 1943 that the Japanese army came across this group of American missionaries. They made it very clear to them as soon as they discovered them that they were enemies of Japan and that they would be executed, they would be killed. At that point, two things happened. The first thing that happened was that the American missionaries pleaded with their captors for the lives of the local Filipinos who were meeting with them. They pleaded that the Japanese army would spare them, and that was granted. And really that's why we know what happened next. The second thing they requested was they asked for time to pray. They asked for time to pray. And that becomes very significant in Peggy's story. Peggy eventually heard that her parents had been killed and the other missionaries had been killed. She was, of course, devastated and grieved, but she was also angry and she was also bitter, and hard to blame her for that. But she became embittered and angry towards those who'd carried out and ordered that atrocity. She continued in that bitter, angry state until she found out through the testimony of one of the local Filipinos what her parents and the other American missionaries had prayed for. They prayed that God would forgive those who were about to commit that atrocity. They pleaded with God that he would have mercy upon their captors. When Peggy Cavell realized that and it dawned on her, she reasoned, because she was a professing Christian, she reasoned if her parents could forgive their captors, she must ask God to give her grace to do that too. And she also decided that it wasn't enough for her just to say that she'd forgive men who she'd probably never ever meet. So she decided what she would do is she was a nurse. She joined herself to an American hospital that was specifically treating captured and injured Japanese prisoners of war. And she went out of her way to show great kindness and compassion towards the injured Japanese soldiers, so much so that they asked her and they questioned her why she was showing them such great kindness. And she explained to them her story, and she explained how the Japanese army had killed her parents, but how the Holy Spirit has washed away her hatred and replaced it with his love. And this had a great impact on some of the Japanese soldiers. They couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't understand how God's love could reach to such an extent in the life of Peggy Cavell. Jacob DeShazer, the American pilot, he was a pilot who spent many missions over Japan, bombing cities and towns. On one occasion, as was actually sometimes almost inevitable, the plane ran out of fuel. He had to bail out. It was very dangerous territory over enemy territory. He was captured. He found himself in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. He was brutally treated. So he fought against it very hard. He found himself in solitary confinement on many occasions. And he would use that time to plot his revenge, to plot how he would have vengeance on his captors. And on one occasion, as he was being put in solitary confinement, a Red Cross cross was placed in his hands. He was allowed to keep it. And inside that Red Cross parcel was a Bible. And in solitary confinement, he began to read. And he discovered that his captors had sins and great wickedness, but he had a sinful heart too, and he needed forgiveness. And in that solitary confinement, he cried out to God to forgive him. And just like Peggy Cavell, knowing that God had forgiven his sins, he asked for grace to forgive those who committed such cruelty to him. He survived the war, and after the war, he went back to Japan, ironically to one of the towns he'd bombed when he was a pilot. And there he became a pastor in a Japanese town and ministered to the Japanese people and shared his faith with them. Now, Matsui Fuchida was very famous. That's an older picture in there, but he was very famous in Japan because he was the lead pilot in the military triumph of Pearl Harbor, as the Japanese saw it, of course. He was the lead pilot. He was the one shouting, "War, war, Tora, Tora," as the planes descended on the ships at Pearl Harbor. He became a national hero. After the war, he too became very bitter and very angry, but for very different reasons to Jacob Teixeira and Peggy Cavell. He became very angry because he felt it was extremely unjust that there should be talk of war crimes and Japanese military being prosecuted for the wickedness and so on, their war crimes. He felt that all countries treated those they'd captured in a very similar way. So he was angry about this, and he shared this frustration and this bitterness with a man who called Kuchida, who he'd flown with in the past. And Kuchida said, "Yes, I also felt that. Until I was wounded and captured, I found myself in an American hospital, and there I met a young nurse called Peggy Cavell, and she showed me such kindness and such mercy and such grace, and spoke about the love of God that I'd never heard the like of it before. She talked to me about a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who could forgive my sins and give me a heart of love." Matsui Fuchida couldn't quite get his head around this, especially the talk about forgiveness, even to the enemy. But as he pondered it, he'd heard that there was an American ministry in a town, Japanese town, not too far away from him, a man called Jacob Teixeira. And he began to correspond with him, and he began to meet with him, and they began to have Bible studies together. And the man who led the attack on Pearl Harbor became a Christian and spent the rest of his years telling the people of Japan about his Savior, also traveling, especially to America, telling the American people about his Savior. It's quite a thing, isn't it? God's providential weaving of three lives together. And this theme of forgiveness, I think, is quite an extraordinary one and a challenging one. There's a lady who wrote the following. She's not that well known. I'll share it with you in a moment. Her life was, if you can describe a life like this, was relatively unremarkable. But she must have been deeply hurt. She must have been deeply sinned against to write these words. At least that's what I think. Because she writes these words which I think are very profound. And this is what I'll finish on. I'll just read them to you. And it's the third stanza that I find particularly challenging. Forgive our sins as we forgive who taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? And then there's this really profound verse, I think, challenging verse. In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. What trivial debts are owed to us, how great our debt to you. Lord, cleanse the depths within our souls and bid resentment cease, then bound to all in bonds of love, our lives will spread your peace.